This is the Drive and Dish Podcast. Talking about NBA news, stats, and fantasy. To start it off, it's Tim Tompkins.
And like PJ Tucker's a player that you can put on Kyrie Irving. You can also put him on Kevin Love, and you can also put him on LeBron James. Like, that kind of player defensively is incredibly valuable.
Kevin Rayfuse.
To be good, but I don't want to be stuck in the limbo of mediocrity. I don't want to gamble that maybe one day there's a Harden trade out there. I don't want to gamble that some team is going to be stupid and let a Steve Nash walk out the door and go to Phoenix the way Dallas did, where you stumble upon a superstar.
And Justin Kuzak.
A lot of the times, from my understanding, is close games are won by the coach calling those inbound plays and drawing up a quick sideline play for him.
Well, if you like that, you're going to love this.
Well, if anything, this is the point where we all sit there and get real excited.
Let's do this!
Let's go.
So student loans in America, they're a very real thing. This is definitely our intros really are unique, man. These are all over the place. We go from some of the silliest stories to we're talking about student loans today. Anyway,
this student loans one, it gets silly.
Yeah, it gets silly. Don't worry. We're not going to make it too serious. But so student loans, it's a real thing. And, you know, I know I personally am a fan of the movie The Hangover. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah.
Not even the first one? You don't like the first one?
Hey, yeah, it's fine.
I mean, the sequels, I understand. Because that movie didn't need sequels.
It wasn't the funniest movie of all time. It was a run-of-the-mill comedy that, you know, I was glad I watched it after I got done watching it, but I'll never watch it twice.
Speaking of, well, not really speaking of, but if you haven't seen Deadpool, you gotta go watch Deadpool.
I heard
that
really
thing
great
is
things
hilarious.
About Deadpool.
Yeah, Justin's been telling me this every single day I've seen him this week.
I need you guys to watch it so I can make jokes.
Yeah, I've heard amazing things from every single person
it's
about that
so
movie.
It's so funny.
I'm gonna go see it. Like, I'm not even opposed to seeing it. I just haven't done it yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, go see it.
All right. But so one of the iconic scenes in The Hangover is when Mike Tyson punches one of the main characters in the face, which leads us back to student loans.
Right.
And so, Justin has found a very unique study.
Yeah, so let me just start off saying, apparently the average student loan for the students in America is about $31,000.
Okay.
They surveyed about 500 people and—
Hold on, is that the mean, the median, or the mode?
Oh, boy.
It just says average. I don't know.
Okay, well, as long as we are stating that we do not know which average it is.
Okay. Okay, so they asked what extreme things they would do to get rid of their student loans. So 57% of the 500 people said they would take a punch from Mike Tyson. It doesn't say where, but I'm assuming face.
Oh, absolutely.
You would take a punch from Mike Tyson. Dude, he would rock you, though.
Is it like bare knuckle? Like, you're definitely going to be concussed after this.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine. You're talking about, you know, let's say a $25,000 punch. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I would save $25,000 to be hit in the face. Sure.
That's fair, honestly.
Well, okay, so 40% said they would shave a year off of their life.
Ooh.
Would you
never
lose a year?
Do that for money. No.
No? No. Not for money? Okay, now we're getting down to the lower percentage.
I would do it for cigarettes, not money.
Okay, lower percentage now. 21%, which I feel like this should be high. 21% said they would wear the same outfit every day for the rest of their life
to get rid of their student loan.
I think there would be more people would do that than you think. I mean, look at did you guys see Zuckerberg's tweet? Mark Zuckerberg, founder of Facebook.
That was hilarious.
Dude, he's like getting ready to go back to work and he's got the same hoodie and pair of jeans for every single hanger in his closet. Or it was a t-shirt or something.
Yeah.
I don't
said,
remember,
what should I wear?
And yeah, everything was just like the same gray t-shirt. And I mean, Steve Jobs was famous for that. He wore his black turtleneck and his jeans. Like, you know, they're both very successful people.
Okay, so now we're getting down to a real low percentage. 7% said they would cut off their pinky.
No.
No way.
No.
No?
No.
I mean, but you don't really need it.
Now, if we were talking about
like
$1 million.
You like it?
Yeah, I like having all my fingers.
Okay,
I mean,
okay.
Gerald Green, he could play basketball with four fingers.
Okay.
So.
5% said they would move to Syria.
God, no. Why? Why? There's literally tens of thousands of people have died there, and ISIS controls part of the country.
So I'm going to assume you guys are a no on that.
And the other people use chemical weapons against their own people.
Dude, there has been some really great documentaries that have been filmed by drones of Syria that they've released on YouTube recently.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking about, like, there's this whole debate, the Syrian refugees and blah, blah, blah. After seeing those aerial drone footage, it seems inhumane. I mean, you're talking about cities of rubble.
Yeah.
Like, just rubble.
That's awful. Well, okay, let's
move on. So they haven't seen those that video footage is my point.
Okay, we'll move on then. 4% said they would get a random STD for life. Would you take an STD for life?
It depends what it is.
I don't know, man. What's the best STD?
Probably crabs.
No, I was thinking HPV. Like, that's the one that doesn't really affect men at all, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you could still give it to your lady friend.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need to get into female anatomy, but the lady's reproductive organisms will get rid of HPV if they're young enough.
Are you a doctor?
I host a show with doctors. I've talked to them about
this. Okay, all right. The HPV rates could have spiked because of Tim's advice.
I'm not saying it's a good idea to get one. I'm just saying if you had to get one, that's probably the best to get if it's a for life. Obviously, the best one gets chlamydia because you can solve that with a pill.
Yeah.
But nobody wants herpes.
No.
Well, you're getting it for life, though. Like, right. We can't
like,
solve
it. Like, it's not going to go away.
No. And herpes is a gift that keeps on giving. We've taken this down a dark path.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have no comment here, but you're listening to the Drivin'ish NBA podcast. My name is Kevin Rayfuse. Joining me to my left, my co-host, Tim Tompkins.
The ball does not lie.
And behind the boards, keeping us honest as always, our producer, Justin Kuzart.
Surgery was successful. Appreciate all the kind thoughts and prayers. Looking forward to the recovery process and coming back stronger and better.
Tyreke Evans.
No.
Oh,
Tim,
man.
You got to know this one.
Oh, yeah, dude. TJ Warren,
yep.
Yo.
Yeah. TJ Warren. I was like, come
he
on,
gave
Tim.
Gave it away
this.
When he said Tim's going to know it. It automatically means it's a son.
We tweeted out the picture on our Twitter account of TJ Warren recovering from surgery. So,
Exactly. That's where I got it.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So every week we'd like to give a shout out to one of our listeners for hooking us up with a review.
We do. This one's in America. It is a 5-star review. On iTunes, yes. The title of it is Paced Well. It's by MN Yokel. So maybe Minnesota. I don't want to make assumptions, though, so we're just going to say MN Yokel for the sake of this.
Fair.
And the review says, as an NBA fan who has a life outside of the NBA, it's great to have a once-a-week podcast that gives a comprehensive breakdown of each week. Though it should be named, quote, 76ers, I wish I could quit you, XOXO.
I wouldn't say it's that comprehensive. I mean,
that's the way of the review you're going to go this
week? Well, no, I'm just saying that we just did a comprehensive review of the entire league, and that took 3 damn episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So each week
to be fair, this review was left before that.
Right, that's why I don't think it's accurate. I mean, it's just not comprehensive.
I mean, we try to give everybody their fair share.
Right, like Raptors fans. We definitely
And Nuggets fans.
Yeah,
poor Nuggets fans, I'm sorry. No, we never talk about them.
It's not true. We brought them up.
Yeah.
Listen, anyways, MN Yokel here. Is it Minnesota? Can we answer this question, please? Tweet us at Drivin'ish NBA. I think it probably is, but again, I don't want to make assumptions. But he or she clearly thinks that we are comprehensive, and we thank you for the 5-star review. We really do appreciate it. As always, leave those reviews on iTunes. It's promise. It's not an ego-stroking thing. It really helps us move up the rankings, and we read them on the show, so you'll get a shout-out, too, which is pretty tight.
Yeah, let's do news.
Tell me something I do not know. Do not know.
Now. If you do not know the present, how can you claim to know the future?
Now on NBA News on the Drivin' Dish podcast.
We need to know now.
All right, first in your news, the Sixers apparently offered Ish Smith, Nick Stauskas, and a first-rounder to the Hawks for Dennis Schroeder. Obviously, they declined. It's expected that Ish Smith is going to have a lot of interest in free agency. This could be revisited in June. The Washington Wizards are in advanced talks with J.J. Hickson on a protected veterans minimum contract for the remainder of the season. Hickson is expected to sign the deal within the next few days. Hickson was released by the Nuggets at the deadline. Beno Udrih will undergo season-ending surgery on his right foot. The Heat have a lot of problems with their point guard because Udrih and Tyler Johnson now sustained season-ending injuries. Udrih was averaging 4.4 points and 2.5 assists per game, backing up Goran Dragic. And again, Michael Beasley is receiving interest from several NBA teams as he nears his return from China. Beasley spent the end of last season with the Heat. Beasley averaged 31.9 points, 13.2 rebounds, and 3.8 assists in 36 minutes per game this season in China. Marc Gasol has officially underwent season-ending surgery to repair his right foot. His appearance in the 2016 Olympics are also in question. And lastly in your news, the Pistons have voided their trade for Deontis Montiunas with the Rockets. And actually, we recorded the rest of this episode before this had happened, so there is some talk about the trade. And that's your news for this week.
Something.
I hate buying tickets. I just did this recently for the Jacksonville Giants, and they said that the tickets were going to be $25. So I said, I'll purchase two. Mm-hmm. I get done checking out, and the price is well over $80.
And it's not even like there's no warning, really.
You're looking at fake prices, essentially.
Right.
They use that price to lure you in.
One thing that SeatGeek does intentionally is that they tell you the full price up front for how much a ticket is. So when you download the SeatGeek app or you go to SeatGeek.com, whatever it is that you're going to do, and right, you're looking at the ticket prices, mm-hmm, those are the final prices out the door. Any fees that were included are included in that final price so you can see it.
For example, right, I have the app open. They have an app. If you don't have it, you should go download it. And so I'm just looking. If you want to go see the Clippers play the Thunder at home on March 31st, fun fact, it's at 8:30. If you were buying an upper level, it's only like $79 right now. So
also, when you click on it, it shows you the view from where those seats are, too, so you can see what the look of the court will be.
And then if you want to wait to see if prices go down, you can set yourself up with an email,
and
they will email you.
And that's one of the best parts. You know, one of my best friends actually just moved to San Antonio recently, mm-hmm, and talk about going out and visit him. Haven't seen him in a while. Went to school with him. Look at Spurs tickets. Keep a tab on that weekend. He'll get email updates. It's free.
Make it as cheap as possible. It's kind of like those hotel websites that take
like Kayak or whatever.
Yeah, like Kayak, where they take out all the different prices and they find the lowest one, and that's the one that you're going to pay.
But yeah, anyway, SeatGeek.com, these guys are our first official sponsor of the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. You know, we really appreciate SeatGeek and, you know, what they've done. We've been doing this podcast for about 2 years now, so it's pretty awesome to have them on board. But if you are in the market for tickets and you're looking to find a great deal, again, check out SeatGeek.com. You can check it out on your computer, or if you want to do it off your phone like most people are doing these days. It's a free app. It's for iPhones, Androids, and everything else in between. And we actually have a way that if you are buying tickets on SeatGeek, you could use our code. Just type in DISH, like drive and dish, or I'm eating my dinner on a dish, and you will be able to get $20 off your first ticket purchase. And the best part is you don't even have to buy the tickets immediately. You just enter that code, and whenever you buy your first set of tickets, you'll save $20.
Right. And to find a place or find out where you have to type in that code, just go to the settings tab once you download the app. That's the SeatGeek app again. And just add the promo code, and it'll save it in there for you.
So it is like Christmas for Tim. He finally can stop talking about this ongoing saga. Markieff Morris is no longer a Phoenix Sun.
Not going to lie, it felt like, and I think I tweeted this out at the time too, it felt like that closure conversation I had about a year ago with my ex over a cup of coffee when Markieff Morris was finally gone. And that's until I found out that the Suns were getting Chris Humphreys.
Wait, you don't like Chris? Well, no, you've been vocal about how you don't like Chris Humphreys.
It's I mean, you know what it is. Like, I'm pretty sure next year the Suns are going to waive DeJuan Blair, who they also got in the trade. They had to make the money work out. And then mm-hmm. Chris Humphreys, you know, I'm not sure if the money's fully guaranteed next year or not. Either way, essentially what the Suns did was they got a first round protected pick and some matching salary that they can dump essentially for Markieff Morris, who, you know, went over to the Wizards. We spend enough time talking about the Suns. Let's talk about how this impacts the Wizards.
Yeah, I'm sure John Wall is happy he finally has a second option other than Marcin Gortat.
Well, Bradley Beal's
is
their second option.
But everybody's going through injuries.
I mean, the Wizards, their power forward position has just kind of been a mess all year.
Nene just isn't good anymore.
No, and they've been starting Jared Dudley at the four, and you know, Jared Dudley can play the four, but depending on your matchup, depending who you're playing, you don't always want Jared Dudley as your four.
Right. I'm sure Wall's happy. It gives them a scorer. They have another guy that can, you know, score down low, which will help. And I mean, like we said, Nene's been injured, so or going through injuries, and kind of doesn't look like what he used to be. And the team in general has been going through injuries, so just having another player.
No, well, they're not getting anything out of Nene, like you said. Chris Humphreys is just Chris Humphreys at this point. Like, he'll give you a double-double once in a while, but he's a limited player. Markieff Morris comes over here on a pretty team-friendly deal when all said and done. I mean, obviously, it's well-documented, the headaches that you're going to deal with, but hopefully a change of scenery is going to do Keith well. I mean, all around, I thought this was a good deal for both teams. I mean, Phoenix gets back this protected 1-9 pick in the coming draft. You know, realistically, pending even more injuries and the wheels totally falling off, you imagine that becomes a pick this year. It's not protected or anything. It beats that top-9 protection. for a guy that, with all his baggage, whose value probably wasn't, it was probably his lowest point, frankly, I thought Phoenix did a really good job of getting value back for Keefe. I think you have to be pretty happy with that first rounder.
Yeah, I think you're happy with the first rounder, and you just bite the bullet with Humphreys.
I mean, it's the, you know, McDonough did good. There was a really good chance, I felt like, that if the Suns got rid of Keefe, that they were going to have to throw in a sweetener in the deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't have to do that. I really do think that it's going to help the Wizards. The Wizards are, they're trying to make the playoffs. They obviously need the help at the power forward position. Also, this gives them a little bit more versatility that they can play with. And Markieff Morris played with Marcin Gortat and Jared Dudley back with the Phoenix Suns 2011, 2012. Mm-hmm. They know each other. They already have a little bit of chemistry going on. That first game back where, or the first game that Markieff Morris played as a Wizard, you know, going against the Pistons, he looked really good on the court.
Yeah, okay. He didn't shoot very well, but again, like, you know, one game, you're adjusting. I'm not going to get hot takey out of that.
No, but I mean, he looked good on the court. Like, yeah, he had an off shooting night, but he looked good on the court. He didn't know any of the plays and everything, but he looks like he will be somebody that will fit in well with him. And that's the kind of risk that you just got to take, though.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it was a good move all around. I think both teams are better off here. And another deal that happened, this was the first big deal, really. You mentioned the Pistons, is that the Pistons got Tobias Harris from the Orlando Magic. The Magic in return getting Brandon Jennings and Ersan Ilyasova. So for the Pistons, I mean, I wasn't a big fan of Tobias Harris in Orlando. I've said this multiple times on the show. I thought it was repetitive. I thought it took minutes away from Aaron Gordon. I thought that they just gave a lot of money for, I thought they wanted Tobias Harris to be their number one guy, and I never thought he was going to be that in Orlando. That being said, I really like this fit in Detroit. I think Tobias Harris is going to thrive here. I think the Pistons needed a scorer. They went out and they got it. I think small forward was a position of need for them. They addressed it a little bit. Do I still think he's a little overpaid? Sure. But I think sometimes, you know, you got to go out and get your guys. And in the case of the Pistons, I mean, at the time too, the Pistons amazingly didn't give up a first rounder for this.
Yeah, I'm not sure they have a position in either small forward. They're still starting Anthony Tolliver at the power forward. I am a little bit confused as to how they're going to roll out Harris, because Morris has been really good for him. So are they going to play Morris at the four, Harris at the three? Are they going to switch those two back and forth? Like, there's just, when you have those two talented of players, there's kind of no reason whatsoever to be starting Anthony Tolliver. But so far, Sandvan hasn't really shown a lot of willingness to play Marcus Morris at the four.
He came off the bench in his first game and, you know, really thrived. I think he was like 9-12 from the field. But
he was a high scoring player at all in that game.
Yeah. And so I think that, you know, we mentioned Detroit, and especially early on in the years, that they really were riding that starting lineup. I mean, we're talking guys who were all playing well above 35 minutes a game every single night. And so I think kind of having Harris to come off the bench a little bit and give that second unit that punch is going to go a long way. I think it allows you to keep Marcus Morris in the starting lineup at a three. You know, he's been giving them a lot of good minutes this year. And
so you think they're going to put him at the four, Harris?
I think they could.
Or is it going to be more like a Tyreke Evans off the bench scorer? That team needs a scorer.
I think it's going to be more of an off the bench scorer. I think he'll play in the four with certain lineups, and I think there are times where he'll get maybe more minutes at the four, especially, you know, if there's injuries or any other factors in there. But I think they need a guy off the bench, and that's where I think he's going to succeed the most.
I thought it was a good move. I thought Sandvan just, you know, the moves he got to get Monte Yunus and everything. It was funny. A lot of people are sort of livid in the Twitter world about the fact that Stan had to give up a first round pick to get Monte Yunus, but not to get Tobias Harris. And
well, Monte Yunus was in the talk for being the rookie of the year.
Yeah. Tobias Harris is a better player. Tobias Harris doesn't have back problems right now. Like, Tobias Harris is a good player. The kid's only 23 years old. I think that a lot of people forget that, you know, and he's a scorer. They needed a scorer. Also, Monte Yunus gives him, if he can play, a lot of versatility where you can play him next to Andre Drummond. You can play him as your legit backup big. You know, it gives you a lot of versatility there. And do you guys think that these moves that the Pistons made make them a playoff team this year.
They have to be in the mix for sure. I mean, they're in the mix right now, but I think that gives them the help because I think the Wizards gave themselves a little bit of the boost. I think the Magic, too, I think gave themselves a little bit of a boost.
I think Detroit gave themselves a boost for sure. It's going to be interesting because the bottom of the East is just so muddied right now. I mean, you've got Indiana's as of recording this episode, Indiana is 6. They've got 29 wins. Charlotte's 7 with 28. Chicago's 8 with 28.
And what Detroit's a mess got Chicago has been, too. We haven't talked much about that. I'm sure we will on a future episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Detroit's got 27, and Washington's got 25. Orlando's got 24, and that starts to taper off. You know, you imagine Orlando's going to drop a little bit. You know, the Knicks have been completely going the wrong direction. Milwaukee hasn't inspired all year. So I think Washington, you know, the problem is going to be is Washington is going to surge, you imagine, if they can get healthy and if, you know, with Keith into the mix, if he plays like the way we think he can. Detroit is right in that mix too.
I mean, Washington's won 2 straight coming out of the All-Star break.
It's just the question is going to be, you know, who's going to fall? Do you think Indiana's going to fall? Do you think Charlotte's going to fall? I mean, I think Chicago is definitely going in the wrong direction, and Chicago has a negative point
Charlotte,
differential
Charlotte
right
also
now, too.
Took a step to try to not fall, at least. They definitely, because they brought on
Courtney Lee.
That, I mean, he's a really good shooter. He's having a little bit of a down year, but adding more shooting around.
He was also the only shooter on Memphis. So
exactly.
I mean, you can get swarmed defensively if you're the only damn shooter on Memphis. We haven't really talked about the Miami Heat yet. We don't know much about the Bosch situation yet. Dwayne Wade, which we did announce on the news in the last episode we put up, Dwayne Wade said that the blood clots this time around aren't nearly as severe as they were last year.
Yeah, but you still have to be careful with it for sure.
Were you guys surprised? There were a lot of rumors around Whiteside.
I feel like the trade deadline. I guess what the Heat did was that a move to try to keep him, you know, clearing up some of their cap space to stay under the floor and all that?
Well, not saying under the floor, saying under the cap.
Sorry, yes.
The Heat didn't want to pay a luxury tax.
Which is fair. I mean, I wouldn't want to pay the luxury tax on this team either. I mean, it's just there's a lot of money locked up there. I mean, the Heat probably, you know, if you're the Heat, you want to get a lot for Whiteside. You don't want to trade Whiteside just because you think you can't re-sign him next year for pennies on the dollar.
But they don't have his bird rights. So if you don't have the money to re-sign him, or if you don't want to re-sign him, you don't have his bird rights.
You got to get something from him.
Yeah, I mean the money's hard to line up because essentially you have Whiteside on a veteran's minimum deal, mm-hmm. right? So when you're doing and you're over the cap, so you can't take on any salary.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, who are they really going to trade for at that point?
Yeah.
How do you possibly get value back? It would have to be a multiplayer trade.
Yeah, well, and then I think we had brought it up last time. Like, do you try to put Dragic in with that?
I mean,
he's got so much, and he's not really living up to
the price. Well,
the
problem is his contract and his value is lower than ever. Do you want to sell low on Dragic when you just signed him to a $90 million deal?
Well, and who's going to be paying Goran Dragic at this point? $90 million over the next 4 years.
Well,
or whatever.
Especially point guard. Point guard's the most saturated position in the NBA. You just, you know, you don't want to buy high if you don't have to. And I think with Whiteside going back to him, I mean, also, you know, I think if you trade for Hassan Whiteside, you have to realistically, you know, you want some assurance that he's going to re-sign with you. I think that hurts too. If you're a team that doesn't think he's going to re-sign,
then why are you paying for a rental for a first round pick for a rental?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't make a lot of sense. We're actually really lucky that we happen to have really knowledgeable Miami Heat fan in the studio with us who used to cover the Miami Heat. So I want to bring on Carlton. You've heard him on the show before. Carlton, the Miami Heat, they traded away Chris Anderson. And basically all of their picks, as a Miami Heat fan, I saw the Twitterverse and the Facebook just blow up. What did it feel like to, you know, get rid of Birdman?
The Birdman hurts because he was a fan favorite, but... Mm-hmm. Basically, the Heat just saved a billionaire millions of dollars at the end of the day. Like, I was so upset. They have no shooting. And you got, like, our best three-point shooter is probably what Chris Bosh shot, Gerald Green. So you got to at least get somebody for shooting. And they saved a billionaire millions. They've been doing it since LeBron. It's why LeBron, one of the many reasons LeBron got ticked off and left. It's just like, if you're winning championships, you're getting the money back. We all know, like, the owners aren't losing as much money as they portray they're losing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Pat Riley wanted to get Marcus Thornton in the offseason, and Mickey Arison said no. And it's just, that's why I was upset with what the Heat did in the trade deadline. They basically got rid of, the team didn't get better. Like, they saved themselves money for the chance of KD. Like, why would KD want to continue to be in LeBron's footsteps and follow go to Miami. When him and Dwayne Wade have had beef in the past, you know, he said that Harden was better than Wade, you know, those years back, and Wade did the show me, don't tweet me, and stuff like that.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, a lot of people did. Like, Wade and KD aren't exactly the best of friends. Like, what is, and then you have these blood clots with Bosh. What is going to lure KD to?
It's a lot. It's definitely a lot of uncertainty for sure. And, you know, we praised during the midseason review that we said Dwayne Wade's playing the best ball of his life, probably, or not of his life, I should say, but in the last 3 years. And but the question, I mean, the fact of the matter is, up until this year, it's been pretty up and down. It's, do you want to bet on one good year with Dwayne Wade? Do you think that that's going to be enough to win a championship, or is that ship sailed?
And at this point, Wade's doing what really Pat Riley been trying to get him to do. The reason why he's been more healthy is he's lost weight. Like, that's the one thing that Ray Allen coming in really helped him. Ray Allen got him on his diet, and that's why he's been more durable. He's in the best shape since probably that 09 season where he had probably his best year of his career. It's basically Wade. The biggest problem with Wade now is, you know, every once he does it in flashes. You know, he has his games where he looks like the old Wade. The problem is he can't do it consistently, but his mind doesn't tell him he can't do it consistently. So when he's having a bad game, he'll go 3-for-16 because he'll keep shooting. And he doesn't realize that, you know, he's not the best guy in the court that year.
It always surprises me with the when, like, oh, he's in the best shape of his life, when other players who see that, who are, you know, quote-unquote out of shape, like, I don't understand how they don't see, oh, this guy went on a diet and is having one of the best years of his life. Why don't I do that? Like Kyle Lowry. Like, why don't other players see that and be like, oh, maybe I'm just going to run a whole lot in the offseason and make sure I'm good?
Because it's not that easy. I mean, it's temptation. I mean, honestly, like, healthy food doesn't really taste that good all the time. And I know
but
these guys,
like,
have
millions
chefs and
of
stuff,
dollars
but
will taste great.
Sure, but at the same, you're right, they will. But at the end of the day, like, sometimes you just want to eat a pizza.
Like, they've got a million dollar pizza. Fine with that. Like, it takes the hunger for a championship for them to lose weight. So
right.
To be funny. Like, Kyle Lowry got that multi-million dollar contract in Toronto overweight. Mm-hmm. And then it took them getting knocked out of the first round by the Wizards.
It was a wake up call.
By Paul Pierce, he had to say, okay, maybe I need to lose weight. And the same with Wade. It took him getting injured and his knees wearing down on him to realize, okay, maybe I need to take some, maybe Pat Riley might be right. I need to take some of the weight off these knees so I can play a whole season.
Well, it's been working this year. There's no doubt about that. You know, he definitely has really been a good turnaround there. You know, it's good to see him back and, you know, healthy and playing at the level that, you know, we like to see Dwayne Wade play. But another guy that the Pistons picked up and acquired is, you know, we mentioned the deal a little bit. It was they picked up Dante Montiunas from Houston. They also got Marcus Thornton in the deal that they did give up. That's where they gave up their first rounder. And so, you know, what do you think a guy like Thornton and even Montiunas, we know what Justin's going to say about Montiunas, add to this team?
No, I will say for Montiunas, the scary thing is, I forget where I saw this, but they were saying for big men with back injuries, a lot of times they only can come back like 75%. It's one of those things, big men and back injuries don't go together well. So that's something that's a little bit scary, but he is very young, so there's always that chance that he comes back. I actually saw people were upset that they let Montiunas go.
I mean, the Rockets, their front court was, you know, it's jammed with Harris and Capella, and Montiunas has been injured.
Terrence Jones, too.
Yeah, so I totally get that. As far as Marcus Thornton, I mean, it's shoring up the bench. The Pistons needed some shooting on the bench, and they also need some, you know, in the starting lineup as well. And Marcus Thornton is a good shooter. He can go off at any time and score you 15, 20 points, win you a couple of games. I just think it really shores up the bench. Did you guys think that the Pistons were the winners from the trade deadline?
So you're not going to believe me. I think it's the Magic.
You really thought it was
really?
Magic? I mean,
yeah, because they opened up room for Super Mario. They opened up room for Fournier. Like, they had this logjam of players where they had too many. It was just too confusing, and people weren't getting the right amount of minutes. And it was almost like Tim says, addition by subtraction. You got rid of Harris, you opened up room for players, and I think it was it's a win for them.
No, yeah, I'm actually, Tim really hates the moves the Magic made.
Dude, they gave up Tobias Harris and Channing Frye for two expiring deals and a second round pick.
But I also think,
like,
that
they could have gotten it,
which gives them enough room to try to get bigger players.
Yeah, but
they could
have gotten a first round pick out of that.
They don't need to get younger though.
You still want to get a first-round pick. You can use it for something else. You can use it as trade bait later. To not get a first-round pick when a first-round pick was gotten for Markieff Morris and a first-round pick was gotten for Montiunas, they gave up Channing Frye and Tobias Harris, a young 23-year-old 17-point-a-night scorer for a second-round pick.
No, I mean, I agree that I think that it probably... Like, them not getting a first-round pick was a miss, but I also think, you know, Justin's got a pretty valid point that I think, or there is value to, and we kind of hit on this in the mid-season review. You know, what frustrated me about Orlando was the logjam, and I think there is value in this case in the addition by subtraction. I think opening up minutes for Aaron Gordon is a good look. I think that, you know, having the money to bring back Fournier and bring back some of these other guys you want to look forward to. I mean, the fact of the matter is Orlando, I think, can be a pretty big free agent destination. I mean, we all live in Florida. We both know the value of there not being a state income tax. The weather is beautiful. You know, they put themselves in a lot of flexibility going forward, and I think they've consolidated what they want their core to be, and I think there's a lot of value in that. I mean, I agree. I think there was a missed chance to get a first rounder for sure, but I like what Orlando did to clear up that logjam, so I'm really hesitant to call them losers.
I think Mario Hezonja, and at least this was the common feeling on the Reddit threads and Twitter, for a lot of it, was that Super Mario is going to become a thing now. He's going to get the green light.
Well, that's your guy. You know, he's the number 5 overall pick last year. You know, you want to give him minutes. You know, you want to see what you have with guys you've invested high draft picks in. You know, Aaron Gordon was a 4 pick. You know, you want to see what you can get with this core going forward. And I think a guy like Tobias Harris, for example, while he's a nice player, I think he's a bit overpaid. I think he handicaps you going forward. And I think in this case, he's repetitive. It was the same thing I said all along, where in Detroit, it makes more sense. So, I think Orlando having the flexibility is going to go a long way.
You know what they say, the more you know, the more you know you don't know.
Want to know a little secret about education? It'll improve your sex life.
It's random NBA player highlights on the Driving Dish podcast.
Today's random player of the week is David Lee, who is now playing for the Dallas Mavericks. Head coach Rich Carlisle said they didn't acquire him to bench him. Lee will play. Born in 1983, Lee was a Florida Gator in Gainesville. He played for Coach Billy Donovan for 4 years. His senior year, Al Horford, Joakim Noah, and Corey Brewer were freshmen on the Gator squad, and eventually went on to win the Gators' first ever SEC championship, beating Kentucky. In 2005, Lee was drafted 30th overall by the New York Knicks. Anyone who says you can't value late draft picks is just wrong. In that same draft, the Knicks drafted Channing Frye at pick 8. Lee averaged 5 points on 59% shooting and 4.5 rebounds in his rookie year while playing around 16 minutes per game. He was a DNP in 15 games that season. We should mention he was named Most Valuable Player of the Rookie All-Star Challenge, where he scored 30 points on 14 of 14 shooting. In 2010, Lee made his first All-Star appearance, replacing injured Allen Iverson for the East squad. During the 2010 offseason, he was signed and traded to the Warriors. The player the Knicks received back weren't important, trust me. The Warriors won that trade. From 2010 through 2014, Lee averaged roughly 20 points a game with the Warriors. We all remember that debate of who was the better white power forward, Kevin Love or David Lee, right? Lee's 2014 season was very injury-riddled. Took a bench role to develop in Draymond Green. He did win his first NBA championship, though. Afterwards, took the team to Vegas to celebrate. David Lee, power forward for the Dallas Mavericks, and your random NBA Player of the Week.
And make sure you guys add our new Instagram account. It's at Drivin' Dish Podcast on Instagram. We post there daily as well. You can hit us up anytime on Twitter. Just search us at Drivin' Dish NBA. Of course, you can add us individually. I am at Radio Tim NBA. Justin is Justin C on the air. And Kevin is Refuse to Lose.
And if you're thinking, oh my gosh, that was so much information Tim just threw at me, just go to drivindishpodcast.com. We have everything there for you. You can send us an even longer review if you want, or just to hit us up. All of our social media accounts are there. A lot of fun stuff going on.
Yeah, so we'll be back next week.
I think we've done enough dancing for today. So why don't we dance Wednesday?
Be a star side.
Okay, well, I'm out of here.
Get in the hole!
Da-da-da-da-da. Hey! Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da. Hey!
Let's go while we're young!
All right, I think they get the point.